Good evening.
Good evening, Malka.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're on section one of the Parsha of Noah, and we're going to start with Pasuk 4 after L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Tevit Hiluur Himud Hiluud Hiluur Himud Le'afda Le'fom Yud Hei Bavav Hei B'Yichud Asherim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ahi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kenenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kenenehu Rabbi Elazar Amar Ele b'kol atar pasal et harishonim haninan v'gomer ma ketiv le'ela b'parshata tiv reshit b'nahar yotze me'eden v'hashkot et hagan u'misham yipahret Wigomer Ahunahar de Nagid de Napik Leye Ayeil the Gintavish the Ashke Leya Mishahu Dilela Viaved Leya Naika V'yaved Ibin V'rabbe Sharin V'hu K'den Na'echa V'kola V'danecha Le'yal Ginta V'david Mi Na'echa V'yakada'a Kivo Shabbat Uktiv Yishvot Bayom Hashvi'i Bedarazad Mila David Toldot Belachara. Rabbi Elazar said that we have learned that wherever the term these, the Hebrew word ela, appears, it always annuls something previously mentioned. Now it is written in the portion of Bereshit, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it was parted. This means that this river, which is Yesod, is drawn and comes out of Eden, which is Chachmah, and enters the garden, which is Malchut, to water it from the supernal waters and bring it pleasure, making it produce fruit and seed. This gives satisfaction to everyone. The garden is pleased with its fruit, which brings pleasure to the river, because it made the fruit, as it is written, because in it he rested, meaning in the river, which is Yesod. And it is also written, and he rested on the seventh day, meaning in the garden, which is Malchut. As Rabbi Elazar explained, the word rested is derived from rest and satisfaction. This is a secret of the matter of the river that comes out of Eden, meaning Yesod, for it produces offspring, and no other sephirah can produce any fruit. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, isn't it explaining the path of the Sephirot? That everything comes through, has to pass through Yesod to Malchut?
Yes, but what is it? It's also explaining, or it's commenting, or it's making us realize that Chachma, wisdom, has to go through Yesod, but its real goal is to be manifested in Malchut. And when wisdom is manifested, it produces fruit. And what does fruit represent? It represents expansion. It represents continuity. And that's what's being explained here, not just that it's flowing through Yesod, but that it's the goal of wisdom is to be manifested in Malchut. The goal of humanity is to bring the light of Hashem into the physical world, which is Malchut. And how is that done? Because wisdom comes through Yesod, and because it's coming through Yesod, and because it's wisdom, that's why fruit comes out of the ground. Any other questions or comments? You want me to read my earlier written commentary?
Oh, you can.
The written commentary is saying that the Torah is now explaining that the idea of not ejaculating into an improper vessel is related to differently for the three children of Noah. That is why it teaches that the word these, or Ela, relates to rest and satisfaction. There is much to learn in this passage about the metaphors of a river going out of Eden. Does this bring any additional questions? The fifth pasuk. Pachatzei kegavna da noach letata kayama kedi kadisha awadugma dilela viyad ikre isha adama peraza olifna deha noach itzterich L'teva v'itchabera ba'ul kaima zara v'kola ikiv l'chayot zera. Come and see. So it was with Noah below. Noah was the sacred covenant below, as Yesod, or the river that comes out of Eden, is above. And he is called man of the earth, because the earth refers to Malchut, and Yesod is Malchut's man. So now we have learned a secret, that Noah needed the ark, which alludes to Malchut, so he could unite with it and preserve the seed of the whole world. As it is written, to keep seed alive. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it's relating Noah now to Yesod and knowing that the flood is going to come, that he then becomes, he's that, chariot to keep seed alive in Malkuth.
Remember that human beings can become chariots for different sephirot, different levels of consciousness. So we speak in terms of after the giving of the Torah, or really after Abraham, we speak in terms of Abraham being Chesed and Isaac being Gevurah, Jacob being Tiferet, Moses Netzach and Aaron Hod, and Joseph Yesod. But now let's move back the generations and talk in terms of Adam, the first man, was considered Tiferet. And Noah is Yesod. Cain and Abel are the right and left arms. They're Chesed and Gevurah. But Tiferet, if Adam is Tiferet, then Tiferet is above Cain and Abel. So you begin to see how the tree has changed as the generations came forth. Now, we don't think in terms of Adam and Noah, Cain and Abel. We're talking in terms of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, as we discuss the Torah and as we discuss the Sephirot. But you can see here, the Zohar is giving us a different perspective. And it's explaining that Noah is a chariot for Yesod, and that Noah had to go into the ark. Not as a protection for Noah, but in order to unify Malchut with Zeron Pin. And that action of Noah going into the ark ultimately can be related to the idea of the crown of the male organ always being concealed in the vagina. My commentary. The name Noah relates to comfort, as we know. It also is related to the phrase Nestar Chochmah, or concealed wisdom. And this is the concealment of the wisdom due to the crown of the male organ being concealed in the female organ. Should I go on, or are there other questions?
It's okay with me. But surely there's somebody else besides me on this call that can talk.
Well, I know Mark was on the call, and I think Hannah Esther, but I didn't really check how many. I just knew there was more than one.
I'm on the call. This is Malka, but I have my grandkids, so I'm kind of on mute.
Okay.
Thanks.
Pasuk 6.
Where are y'all going? Harper. Just hello, Harper.
Malka, you haven't muted the phone again. Ma'an Deva.
Hello.
Malcolm, mute your phone because we're hearing the kids in the
All
background.
Right. All right.
Thank you. Ma'an Deva Daron Habilit Venoa Puteva Lepata Ake Hawo Puduma Puela Noa Puti Deya Rit Dipi.
Is a permanent record a thing?
Okay.
Yes. It's Briti Atah Wigomer Diyadi Bayam Beya Oot La Ayel Lita. You need to press star 6. It hasn't catching. You haven't muted yet. Thank you. Rabbi Elazar asks, what is the ark? And he answers, it is the ark which is Malchut of the covenant after she receives Yesod, which is called the covenant within her. And Noah and the ark below were like Yesod and Malchut above, because the covenant is mentioned in relation to Noah, as it is written, and I will establish my covenant with you. As long as the covenant was not established in Noah, he did not enter the ark, as it is written, and I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark. Only then does the ark become the ark of the covenant, meaning that after the ark received and accepted Noah the righteous, who is the covenant, it became the ark of the covenant. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, to me, it's saying it wasn't just a protection shield, but it was the Ark of the Covenant, and it didn't become the Ark of the Covenant until he went into the Ark.
Well, it doesn't become the Ark of the Covenant. It doesn't become the protection shield of the covenant until Noah enters the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't enter the ark without an invitation. My written commentary. In order to enter the ark, the hymen must be broken. This is the meaning of the code words, what is the hymen of Malchut? It is a level of consciousness that relates to being internal versus external. These are code words for male and female, and there is much to learn from this discussion. What is the term Ark of the Covenant? What is the meaning of that? There's
no.
A covenant, there's an
it's
agreement
a...
between mankind, correct?
I'm sorry, would you repeat what you said?
there's an agreement, a covenant between Hashem and mankind. If that statement is correct, then what does the phrase Ark of the Covenant mean? Ark means protection shield. But what is it? What is the agreement between Hashem and people? Why does it need a protection shield? And why is the Zohar telling us that it waited for Noah to enter the Ark before it could be called the Ark of the Covenant? What was it before that? Before Noah entered the Ark, was it a boat? Was it an ark? But it wasn't the Ark of the Covenant? And inherent in that...
But mankind was completely wrong.
Say again?
Wasn't it really showing that that was Hashem saying that through Noah that mankind was going to continue on after the flood?
Very well.
This
very
is,
good.
This is the agreement with Noah.
That's the meaning of Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
This is the process of continuity.
You know, it becomes evident that through the ages and through the generations that Hashem always chose a man, you know, and a woman, I suppose, too, to bring forth the next step, the next generation, I suppose you would say, which would then remind us that he's still working that today for us.
That's well said. That, you know, if you ask the majority of people today, is Hashem in their life? Their answer would be no. That's biblical. Hashem isn't around anymore. He's cut us loose. That's one of the philosophers. That's one of the teachings of various philosophers in various worlds, in various countries. Various nations. That's one of the arguments. Is God still involved in our lives?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't see him. He's always hidden and concealed in history. That's really the message of the story of Esther.
Right.
But it applies to us today. Do you see God working in your life? Some do and some don't. But for those who don't, can they be woken up? Can they be allowed to see it? But that gets into this idea of, you know, there's a reason why they don't see it. It could be that that's where their state of consciousness is. Or it could be that's part of the plan of creation that they're not supposed to know it.
Well, I assume that Hashem shows himself to everyone. It's just we don't necessarily have the eyes to see the everydayness of some things. And then when we do, and we hang on to that, then a little bit later, when maybe you don't see, you know that Hashem is still working in the background of your life. And like you said, Esther is a good example of that.
The point I'm trying to make, and maybe it's wrong, but there are people in the world that Hashem doesn't work in their lives. Supposedly. That's their perception. Why do they have that perception? Because they haven't reached a point of spiritual elevation that they're able to see that, that Hashem is in their life? Or it's because this is the level that Hashem wants them to follow. In the 20th century, there were a number of physicists, Albert Einstein, Niels Bohr, there's a whole bunch of them that developed the atomic and hydrogen bombs. But if you ask them at the time they were doing their scientific development, is Hashem in your life? Their answer is no. But as they aged and they developed, they went through, maybe it comes from aging or maybe it's excuse me. Maybe it's spiritual growth, or maybe it's for some other reason. As they age, they develop the idea that they stop working on development. They stop working on science. They all became religious. They all started to connect to Hashem and see Hashem in their life. And yet today you have a physicist, he's in a wheelchair and he's got ALS. I forget his name all the time. But he's very clear that in his life, he doesn't consider Hashem part of his life, only scientific growth. Well, what's the reason for that? In his life, now we don't see his whole life, we don't see all of the lives before this one, but in this life, he's going through a process, and he hasn't recognized that God is in his life. Does that make him wrong? No, it just makes him where he is in his process. And his process is part of the plan of creation. It's God, part of God's plan. God conceals himself from that man. Our time is up for now.
Okay.
We'll pick up at verse 7 tomorrow.
Okay.
I wish you all a wonderful evening. Our class tonight will be Tikkuni Zohar. So shalom to all.
Okay, shalom. Thank you.